The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the Kisser Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzer365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Micha Cohen.
Simen Kuf Nun Aleph. Yisr Haitzah Zeh Levatala. The prohibition of spilling the seed for no reason, v'tikun al mish nechshal bay, and ways of fixing the transgression, the person faltered in it. Siv Aleph. Asur l'haytzi shechva zera levatala. It's prohibited for a person to cause semen to come out for no reason. V'ovein zechomer mikol aver shebetayra, and this is a very serious offense. I went to actually do it intentionally by hand. It's not only that it's a big prohibition, but this is one who does this should be in need of excommunication. Now, they're not actually in excommunication, but it's again trying to show the severity of it. That your hands are filled with blood. Now, it's interesting because if you look carefully, the wording is asur lahotzi zera levatala for no reason. So there's a discussion, let's say, many times in different fertility treatments, so they need to do what's called a semen analysis, which is to check to see how fertile the semen is for the purpose of healing the couple to be able to conceive. So many Paiskim discuss that if it's been a long enough time that we're pretty sure that it is a male factor, and that's not going to be levatol, it's not going to be for no reason, so therefore it'll be more lenient. Now, what's interesting is that there are two prohibitions here. One is, in general, to cause it to come out for no reason, and the other one is specifically by hand. Ramosha Feinstein, Zatzal, held that even in situations where it's permitted for fertility reasons, but to do it by hand is always prohibited. Now, that would mean that the proper way of doing it in such situations would be, let's say, through normal relations and collect it through a condom or something like that, where again, you're not doing it by hand. There is a discussion about this, but again, just pointing out, as we're learning this, that the main prohibition is levatala for no reason at all, and if there is an important reason like this, then, again, with rabbinic guidance, then it could be permitted, according to many opinions at least, and the method also would make a difference, again, that according to Ramosha Zatzal, the method would have to be a more natural way than actually by hand. Now let's continue. V'aleim nemra, and on it says, Yideichem dam maleu, your hands are full of blood, because, again, the shechva zera, the seed, has the potential for life, and therefore to actually go and destroy it is something that Chazal were very much against. Uk'ilu hareges ha-nefesh, and it's like one is killing a soul. Now, it's obviously not like actually killing a soul, but the idea is, again, to do it for no reason is a problem. Or ema shekos of Rashi b'parshas Vayeshev, and look what Rashi says in Parshas Vayeshev, be'er v'ayna shemesu b'chetzeh, that those two children of Yehuda died because of the sin. Sometimes because of this, heaven forbid, born of Mesim, Kishem Tanim, it causes children to die young, Hoshi Yerushalim, it'll be evil, Vuhu Bolli De'anius, and it could bring to poverty. Now, another discussion that comes up with Erev Einem, with Tysus, and Tysus over there talks about it, is that in a situation where it's part of intimacy, of relations, would it be permitted to cause it to come out? And basically, the bottom line is that according to the Rambam, that one's supposed to make sure that it doesn't happen like that. The Imre Bina, a very important Achran, does say that if it wasn't expected to happen, but sort of by mistake, so then that could be different. Now let's continue with Siv Beis. Also, Adam, she kashes asmaladas. One should not cause that organ to become hard. Vaishayavi asked me that they hear her isha, or to bring upon himself thoughts of a woman. If he does have a thought, the best idea would be to transfer a person's thoughts to Torah. That's something that brings out, you know, the better side of a person. And the thoughts of these types of things only become strong, only a heart that's empty, devoid of knowledge. So again, what the Kitzur is advocating here is, and it's really the wording of the Rambam, is that with all these things, the best thing is to be distracted by good things. You know, it's very hard to control thoughts, but if a person is busy with Torah and other things, then that's the best method. And as much as possible, one should be careful to become to that hardening. So a person shouldn't sleep on his back facing up, or facing down, but again, sleep on the side, that is not to do things that would cause a person to be more likely to be mitzvah zera, to cause the seed to come out. That he shouldn't cause kishoy, that's the hardening of the male organ, and two unmarried men should not sleep in, next to each other, in the same bed, for a number of reasons. But Chazal felt that it doesn't bring out the good thoughts in people. And one should also not look when animals are mating. One should not ride an animal without a saddle, because it's very warm, and sitting on it could cause a kind of person to for the seed, the zera, to come out. Now, it's interesting, if you look in the Paiskim, they say if a person's profession is to be a shepherd, where they have to be involved in mating, that is permitted. So, and the idea is that a person's involved in their profession, and therefore they're not really thinking about those other things. So there's a general point that when it comes to having improper thoughts, there are persons involved in their profession, that would be a reason to say that a person would be distracted, they wouldn't be thinking about the wrong things. Sif Gimel. Kishamashtin, when a person relieves himself, also lechaz v'mila lahashtin, one should not hold the area of the mila, v'im hunoso, if he's married, and the wife is around and permitted, mitzada din motuloi, then it will be permitted. Why? Because tikiven sheyesh le pas basaloi, because he has the ability to fulfill those needs, right? Pas basaloi literally means bread in his basket, but it's a figurative way of talking. It means to say, since the wife is in the city and permitted, so he has a way of fulfilling his needs, so therefore we're not so concerned about him thinking about the wrong things and getting himself heated up, that it would cause to be mighty zera, to cause the seed to come out. So he wouldn't come to thoughts and becoming all heated up. But again, it's pious to be stringent about that, for shlotzer hashtana, and if it's for no reason, not for the purpose of relieving himself, then asuloi, then even from the strict halacha, it will be prohibited. Siftal, besudas halayla, when one eats a meal at night, lo yarbe b'achil v'shtiyah. So again, what the idea is, trying to give etzes, to give advice, not to do things that could cause this to happen. So he says, when a person eats a lot, that could cause it. You shouldn't eat things that warm up the body too much, like fatty meat, and a lot of dairy products and eggs. He shouldn't drink a liquid that warms up the body, because these things cause this sin. Now, it's not clear if this is actually a halachic prohibition, or maybe it's just advice that a person, you know, wants to attain a level of kedusha, of holiness, and they try to stay away from these things as much as possible. Because not all these things are brought in Shulchan Aruch, so therefore it's questionable whether or not it's actually strictly prohibited, but it's more that a person wants to achieve a certain level of kedusha, of sanctity, and therefore the kitzur is advising him to be careful about this. Sifhei, Mishiro Chas V'Shalom Keribalayla, one who had a mission at night, Kishaner Mishnasai, when he wakes up, Hitol Yadov V'Yamar B'Shifat Leiv, he should wash his hands and say in a broken heart, Ribbono Shalom, God, Hasisi Zeh Shalom B'Kavan, I didn't mean it, Rak Behurim Ram, Achshavas Rois, but the thoughts that came upon me, Olchen Yerotzei Mufunach Hashem Alekai V'Kiel V'Sai, you should erase this sin, and you should save me from bad thoughts. Now, it's important that Revolba, the great Mashkiach, does point out with these types of things that, you know, a person has to be careful as much as possible, but on the other hand, one of the biggest things that a person could fall into the trap of is becoming depressed. And the idea is that, and feeling guilty, the idea is that Hashem wants a person to do what he could do, but guilt and depression are things that are definitely not productive in serving Hashem. Let's continue with Siv Vav. A person who wants to be extra careful with this, so he should be careful about the way he talks, mishkarim and rechilus, from lying and from saying Lashon Hara, Milashon Hara Miletzonos. Now, it's not clear what the connection is. It could be more of like a segula, like a supernatural type of thing that to protect the person. One should also protect their ears from hearing these things. Gam yehi zohir l'kayim nidrei. Nidarav, he should be careful to fulfill his promises. V'le'ar v'dago, and shouldn't be overly anxious. V'gam yehi zohir mehirum ron, he should be careful of bad thoughts. Before he goes to sleep, he should be involved in Torah, so again, to keep his mind on good things. Also, to say the first four Psalms. Also, not to sleep alone. Now, many of these things could be more segulais, more supernatural types of things, as opposed to natural cause and effect type of things that cause it or don't cause it. Continue now, Siv Zayin. Tikkunim l'misha nechshol b'chadzeh. So there's a concept of tikkun, of doing things that could rectify this sin. K'suvim b'sefer Yisod Yosef. This is a work, Yisod Yosef, shalikate v'asaf misvarim kadoshim v'kadmoinim, that brings from early svarim about this. And I just want to mention again that each these types of things have person needs advice based on their situation, their generation. So we're going to learn here what the kitzur says, but you know, for a person's own personal advice, you know, it's always good to talk to someone who can really guide them properly. Now he says the following: V'achtav poi k'tzas mehem b'kitzur. The kitzur, I'm telling you from this work, Yisod Yosef, some of the things that he says. So this is what he says: Lahadr liyo sandik, to try to be a sandik at a bris. She maluhu yada iladim al berkov, that Jewish children should go into the mitzvah of mila on his lap, meaning to be a sandik. Ubefrat liyo sandik etz laniim, especially with poor people. Lahabas bitzdaka laniim, to give a lot of charity to poor people. Now again, the correlation, the connection between these things and this chet and this sin are not clear. We're probably more based on Kabbalah, Kabbalistic sources. So again, we're going through it, but we don't necessarily understand what it means. Lishmar Shabbos Kilchosu L'Angoy, to keep Shabbos properly and to honor it and to enjoy it. L'Hadlik Neres Harbe, to light many candles for Shabbos. L'Chaber Lev Lemdi Torah, to honor and love people who study Torah. L'Spal B'Kavano B'Vechi, to daven, to pray with intent and tears. L'Chav Midas Hanova, to choose the trait of piety. Ukasha Yishma Shemacharfanai say, if one hears that they are disgracing him, Yishtek V'yimchel, he should be quiet and forgive. Kasha Yasa Eze Mitzvah, when one does a mitzvah, Yasa Bekoyach Ubezrizas Achis Chalamba, he should do it with a lot of fervor. until he becomes warmed by it. So the idea, this already we can understand, the idea is that he fell into the sin because he warmed himself up for the wrong thing, so now he's warming himself up for the right thing. B'frat b'asiyas ha-matzahs le-Pesach, and especially making the matzahs for Pesach. L'gad l'barav l'tam ha-Tayra, to raise one's children to Torah learning, l'adrichem b'yir-shamayim, and to set them in the path of fear of heaven, l'gad l'yasem b'sech Pesach, to raise a orphan in one's house, v'isnag imay k'mayim b'noy, and to treat him like your own child, l'asek v'mitzah z'chnosos kala, to be involved in helping poor bride get married, la'leis l'tar l'chol apachas v'machas b'chol chodesh, to receive an aliyah once a month, v'yavarach ala brachas b'kol, and to make the blessings with a loud voice, gam yistakel b'torah, also using your eyes to look at the Torah, and to read along with the Balkare. To be from the first ten in Shul. To get up in the middle of the night and say Tikkun Chatzos, which is the prayer, remembering that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash anymore, with tears. If you can't get up in the middle of the night, he should do it later. And the final one is love shalom, the Lord of shalom, to love peace and pursue it. Now, obviously, a lot of these things are very good things in and of themselves, and again, it's not clear exactly what the connection is necessarily between these things and that chet and that sin, but the most probably they're based on Kabbalah, on Kabbalistic correlations, and a person who really wants guidance should speak to someone who obviously could guide them properly. There are a few practical pointers that I'd like to discuss on this topic before we continue. The Gemara says, "Shalish nashim mishamishes b'meich." There are three women who they can use or have relations with a meich. A meich would be a cloth, and the cloth would be put inside the woman's body as a barrier, so that the woman should not be able to become pregnant. Now, this Gemara is really the basis of most discussions about birth control. Now, the question of birth control really has two aspects of it. One aspect is that a person has a very, very great mitzvah of peri-review. So if people decide not to have children, then they're not fulfilling one of the first mitzvah in the Torah, which is a very important mitzvah. Now, there are situations where for medical reasons or emotional reasons, people either need a break from having children or more than that, and so they need a form of birth control. Now, there is a difference in halacha between different types because of what we're learning now, because a person is not supposed to destroy the seed, and because of that, certain types of birth control are considered destroying the seed and certain types are not. Now, the Gemara says that these women are permitted to use this meich. So there's a very basic question, when exactly is this meich being used? Is this meich being used after relations, to sort of clean up what's there, to prevent pregnancy from happening later, or is it actually there at the time of the relations? Now, if you say that it's there at the time of the relations, then what you're saying is that for whatever reason it's permitted, and it's not, even though it's a barrier, according to the other opinions, we're saying that it's never permitted. Now, there was a famous response from Rikiv Eger and the Chassam Sefer, two very great Gedolim in the 1800s, and they understood that at the time of actual relations, if it's an actual barrier, it's not going to be permitted. And what that means is, let's say, when a couple is looking at the different options, so to use something, say, like a diaphragm, which actually covers the opening of the uterus, so it doesn't let any of the seed into the uterus, that's going to be a serious problem, because you're actually obstructing it, and it's going to be like causing the seed to come out on something that's not fertile. So that's why the best option would be using some sort of pill, let's say, that would cause it that the woman shouldn't ovulate, so it's going to prevent pregnancy that way, but it's not going to create any physical barrier between the path of the seed. And so that's going to be, from a halachic perspective, the least amount of problems. Now, certain types of pills do cause staining, which raises a whole new set of issues, the halachic issues, which these things really need I mean, in birth control in general, obviously needs very real rabbinic guidance, and but the nida aspects of it as well is something that needs guidance as well. But again, the point is that just because in a certain situation a couple was told that they should use birth control, it doesn't mean that they should use any type of birth control. Because again, using something like a diaphragm poses a much bigger halakhic problem than something like a pill. A spermicide is also under discussion, besides the medical end of it, how useful it is. But on the one hand, it's not a real barrier. On the other hand, it does destroy the seed. Some feel that since it's indirect, you can't really see the difference, so it's permitted. But again, this is a discussion. Another discussion is the IUD. The IUD doesn't really block anything. It prevents fertilization, hopefully. Now, there was a time that they believed that even after there was fertilization, it prevents implantation. And it raised the question, is that like an early abortion? And so, again, this is something that needs to be clarified before one goes and uses it. Now, there are situations, according to certain opinions, that a diaphragm may or may not be permitted. And again, that's something that needs rabbinic guidance. Another question that's discussed in the Paiskim is that if a woman, say, has a hysterectomy, doesn't have a uterus, so does that affect her being with her husband? And the basic idea is that since the relations happen in a normal way and the seed is deposited in the body, then it's still permitted. But let's say it would always be outside of the body, then that would be more of a serious concern. So again, these are a few of the questions. Again, in general, these are serious questions, and it's something that the best person is a Rav, is a rabbi who knows the couple and their situation and can answer them in hopefully a sensitive and responsible way.